Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Very pleased to have with us, first time she's been back here since she got elected, State Representative Jackie Terrabile, who is representing District 66, virtually everything west of I-77, including TK and Western Fort Mill, correct?
That is correct. Thank
How
you so
I
much.
How did I know that, Dave? You just told me.
Great job. You have a great memory, and that's absolutely correct.
So I want you to tell everybody a little bit about Jackie before we get into all these issues. Go ahead.
Okay, well, thank you for having me today. I appreciate it. My name is Jackie Terrabile. I am the House Rep now for District 66, which is TK Fort Mill. I am a freshman in the State House of Representatives, so brand new. We're at the end of the session. We only have 2 weeks left, and it's been a very interesting, great ride. I've learned a ton, and I'm just really just honored to be there. I just, every day that I'm there, I'm remembering that I'm there to serve the people of District 66, and when I come home on Thursday nights, I'm just really happy and grateful to be driving back home to the community that, where I serve. So.
And happy to be away from Columbia.
I mean, yes. I think if you enjoy being in Columbia too much, like if you prefer to be there than your district, then you should probably get, someone else should take your place, because you should love being at home with your people.
So have you been surprised at all about how the sausage is made now that you're right in the kitchen?
You know, in some ways, I'm surprised, but in other ways, it's what I expected it to be. David O'Neill, who is the representative who served for District 66 before me, has done a really great job of mentoring me and preparing me for what it's like there. So I appreciate that. He checks up on me every week to make sure I'm doing okay, if I have any need anything, which I appreciate. But in some ways, yes. I mean, there's just a lot of nuances to being there. There's a lot of relationship building that happens off of the House floor, which is really, really important. And just, I think that there's a lot of work that gets done on bills that maybe the people don't see because it's done in the subcommittee to improve and make sure that the legislation is overall what it needs to be effective when it gets passed into law.
So as a new legislator, do they have some kind of an orientation course for you, or a day down there or whatever?
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes. So in November, we went down as freshmen. There are 19 freshmen this year, which is a pretty big class. And we went down and we spent 2 days meeting with the speaker, meeting with the staff, all the different departments, really trying to get us up to speed on procedure, on the floor rules, the House rules, and then just getting to know all the things that we have access to as representatives. You know, one of the things I love about being a representative is constituent services. I now have access to the over 100 state agencies and someone there who can answer questions for me. So if I have somebody in my district who calls me and has a problem with their taxes or an issue with the DMV or Medicaid, I have somebody who's dedicated to taking my call and helping me serve my constituent, which is very fulfilling.
Good. Biggest surprise so far?
Biggest surprise is
the size of your parking spot.
Yeah, my parking spot. I would say the biggest surprise is that there is, I think when you're outside of the State House, there's a lot of talk about the arguments and the infighting that goes on down there. And of course, some of the news outlets like to make a big deal about it. But I mean, I found it to be very collaborative. And also that, you know, even when we disagree, people are very respectful of that. And just a lot of working together, especially as Republicans, to make sure that we are putting good conservative legislation forward.
All right, so I know you're off and running. You got some bills down there you're working on. The one that caught my attention is the MAHA bill. I love
yes.
MAHA.
MAHA.
Make
yes.
America healthy again.
Yes, absolutely.
So what are you doing?
So we have a bill that is coming forth. It's actually going to be in subcommittee on Tuesday in the Education Committee K-12, and it's called the South Carolina Healthy Schools Act. It's supported by RFK Jr.'s team, and it's really prohibits public schools participating in food meals from using chemicals, food dyes, that kind of thing. A lot of these food dyes are causing kids to have hyperactivity, not be able to pay attention in school. They're harmful to our kids. Some of them have been linked to cancer. So what we want is for the state funding to not go towards poisoning our kids. We want healthy school lunches for our kids.
And if this passes, I'm sure there's some kind of bridge to get these new kind of foods. I mean, they are not out of the food supply yet.
Right, right. Well, what they would do, this bill gives a lot of time for us to be able to implement that, for schools to implement it. I went and met with the food director of Fort Mill Schools just a couple weeks ago, talking about procurement and how they can implement this. And so what I believe the bill is that it gives until July of 2026 for them to implement that. So it gives them time for the food companies to catch up and for the school districts to be able to implement this in a way that doesn't waste taxpayer dollars.
Any other particular legislation that you've introduced this year?
Well, this actually was a bill that I introduced, a similar bill last month.
Okay.
And then this is a bill that we ended up working on. Chairwoman Shannon Erickson is the head co-sponsor, and I signed on to it right after. I'm the second co-sponsor of this bill. And it just is a little bit more in-depth. Yeah. Type of food bill. And again, like I said, RFK Jr.'s team is supporting this.
So you got till May 8th, which is whatever, the magic date.
Yeah.
That if you're not through, you're not through.
That's right.
Are you going to make it?
I hope so. I think that anything can happen. And like I said, we have a subcommittee hearing on Tuesday. And then if it passes favorably, we have a full committee hearing later on in the afternoon. So I think that anything can happen. And there's a lot of public support for this. I know there's a lot of families that are sending letters, sending emails in support. They're going to show up tomorrow and show that this has a lot of support across the state.
So what are you hearing from your constituents at home? What's the thing that they're most concerned about that they want you to do something about?
I think some of the biggest concerns is just wasteful spending in Columbia on things that are not core functions of the government. In Fort Mill, TK, they're worried about the roads and congestion, obviously. Also, my constituents are asking, they want closed primaries. This is something that was an issue during the campaign. It was important to them, and it's a something that across the state of South Carolina, Republicans want to see closed primaries. And there's been a bill, closed primary bill, every year in the House for the past 18 years. It never gets passed.
Why is that?
That's a good question. That's a good question, especially considering how many Republicans want it, right? I mean,
you dominate both sides of
absolutely.
The aisle.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You can't get it through.
I'd like to see it get through. We can, if it doesn't get through in the next 6 days, there's two bills, I believe, that were introduced this year. It's not dead. We can still come back, and I hope that people will make it a priority when we get back in January.
Well, I'm sure you're hearing an awful lot from your constituents, I know you are, about Silfab Solar.
Yes.
This is a huge issue. Mm-hmm. Huge from, so many different perspectives. Where are you, or what are you trying to do with mm-hmm. this? You're on board with this legislation going on?
Yes. So the zoning bill that was David Martin, Representative David Martin's zoning bill, I signed on to that right away as a co-sponsor as well. And, in my district, even though the plant is in District 26, in my district, many, many of my constituents, parents, their children were rezoned to go to the schools that are going to be next to that plant. And so they're very, very concerned. I get calls from people who are saying they're putting their house on the market, and they're really worried about it. So I feel like this bill is a common sense bill that says if you change the whatever the zoning board says it is, if it's light industrial and you want to do a heavy industrial plant there, you have to go back and get new permits and that kind of thing. It seems like common sense. And the representatives that we've spoken to at the State House on this bill, talking to them about it in the committees, they also say that it seems like it's common sense.
Now, you are again up against this May 8th deadline. So
yes.
The question is whether or not this thing will get through mm-hmm. you know, either side of the aisle.
Yeah, well, we're running out of time, and so I think that it's important for people, if this is something that's important to them, to continue to call, email, send handwritten letters to the subcommittee for the 3M committee, and just let people know, let the representatives know around the state. I mean, I get representatives coming to me and saying, I hear from your people in Fort Mill so much, more than anywhere else in the state, over this issue, because it's important to them.
You know, it is interesting because I'm no scientist, mm-hmm. I admit that, but this has been through all kinds of reviews by DHEC, which, of course, had to issue their permits, mm-hmm. and they didn't see anything wrong with it. But that being the case, the question I have is one that we talked about beforehand. Mm-hmm. Let's assume that this goes in the favor of those who are opposed to Silfab Solar, and Silfab goes to court and appeals it, which I'm sure they would. And let's say they lose, all right? Mm-hmm. Who is going to pay Silfab Solar for all the money they've spent exercising a legal permit mm-hmm. to build their factory? Somebody's going to have to pay them.
Right. Well,
and that's going to be big bucks.
It is. And that's something that the county and the community is going to have to determine. But my hope is that we will come to an agreement where it won't get to that. I see your face. I told you I'm a very positive person.
Well, that's fine. That's
so
fine.
I'm trying to be positive.
I'm just trying to figure out how you could do that because, Silfab wants to build their product, mm-hmm. right? They've got all the permits saying we can do this, right? And now they're, because of the zoning classification mm-hmm. change,
right.
which is what you're trying to do with the legislation,
Absolutely.
To make that
right.
say you can't do it. But meanwhile, they've been building a plant mm-hmm. that is, I gather, getting closer to operation.
Right.
And if you don't make this May 8th deadline, by the time you get back into session in January, mm-hmm. I don't know what their exact timetable is, but I'm thinking they're going to be close to operational, if not operational.
I think that there's a lot of things going on with this, and we're going to have to see where all of the different pieces and land out end up.
I mean, is anybody trying to do anything else to try to resolve it? I guess maybe there's no way that it can be resolved. Mm-hmm. Because those who are very upset about this are not accepting the science that's been produced so far. Is that fair or not fair?
Well, I think that they also have their own scientists that they've been, you know, working with, yeah. and all different groups that they're working with to try to get another objective position on that as well. So,
and the school district, I think, is trying to find another group to go back behind and double-check the science.
Right, that's right. What I've heard as well. Okay. So, yeah.
So you're right in the middle of it, and we'll see what happens. But I really do think somebody who's involved with this thing better start thinking further down the line, who is going to pay them for this? Mm-hmm. Because this is going to be millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. And is that going to be a county responsibility? Is that going to be a state responsibility? Is that going to be whose responsibility mm-hmm. is it going to be?
Right. Well, I think that's a good question. I think that I've heard people ask that question before, and one of the things that I think is that while that is something that is going to need to be handled and discussed, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't be working to address people's concerns in the community and also try to work towards some kind of a resolution for this.
Well, there does not seem to be a middle ground on this. Pardon me. There does not mm-hmm. seem to be a middle ground on this. It's either going to, you know, we either get rid of it or the war is going to continue. Would you agree with that?
I mean, right now that's what it seems like. But like I said, I mean, I don't know how this is going to end up. I hope that no matter what you do, we can't make everyone happy, unfortunately. But I think that I think that what's important to me is that I have extremely concerned constituents, and right. I want to do everything I can support their concerns and their efforts.
Plus, you got a brand new school's about ready to open.
Right. Absolutely. Sure. I mean,
wow.
This is complicated. You know,
it is complicated. Very true. So let's talk about something else that's complicated.
Okay. Everything's complicated.
That's why you're down there.
That's right.
Try to make sense of it. Legislation that's working its way through the House of Representatives mm-hmm. to legalize, what do they call it, online sports betting.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the whole idea behind it is there's apparently a lot of people from South Carolina that are running across the line in North Carolina mm-hmm. to make their sports bets.
Right.
And so South Carolina is losing out on that revenue. Mm-hmm. Where's Jackie on this?
Well, as it stands right now, I'm going to be voting no on it. That's just where my stand is. And I know that there's different sides of the concerns. Being a Family Caucus member and really supporting families, as it stands right now, I'm against this. And there's also a bill coming up about bringing casinos to the state of South Carolina as well that we're going to be talking as well. They want to bring physical casinos into the state as well. And I'm against that as well.
We're getting surrounded by it, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all you have to do is go up to Exit 5 here
mm-hmm.
on I-85, right. And you will see an incredible structure going up. Have you seen that? Have you seen the steel in the air on that thing?
No.
Ooh, it's worth a drive
up
there.
Okay.
You don't have to go in. Just go through the parking lot and look up.
Uh-huh.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's absolutely huge. But I got it. The governor's against it. I understand the opposition to it entirely.
Mm-hmm.
I said this on the air this morning. I'll say it again. One of the things that I don't I'm glad that we didn't get the NFL franchise here for the Panthers here
mm-hmm.
is because of all the new emphasis on betting in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that just ruins the game.
Mm-hmm.
And with all that brings one story after another story of what betting does to people.
Right. Well, there's a lot of proof that shows that that can be very harmful. Harmful to families and harmful to communities. So,
I got you. All right, we're going to have to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Jackie remembers this. We do fresh subs and salads here at Substation 2. We do it 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. How we do it is in the white letters. And anybody who's anybody knows what we're about to do. At the count of three, let's tell them how it's done. 1, 2, 3.
Slice. Garden.
Well done. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
What's hot at Substation 2? The new hot beef brisket sandwich. Brisket is smoked tender beef sliced to order, served hot and delicious, and gardened your way. This is a limited time offer, so titillate your taste buds today with a hot beef brisket sandwich at Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Don't resign your retirement plan to some rule of thumb. Your own personal retirement is unique to you and your family. Give our common sense investing approach a shot. Anderson Griggs Investments, a genuine money manager right here in Rock Hill. 324-5044 or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
If your primary care physician has recommended surgery for a medical condition and non-invasive medical treatments are not an option, you may want to talk to your surgeon about new, less invasive surgical techniques. At Piedmont Medical Center, we use Da Vinci Robotic Surgery, a robot-assisted system controlled by a surgeon designed to allow for greater surgical precision during many general GYN and urology procedures that potentially offers you a quicker recovery. Learn more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Love our subs? Want to find the fastest way to get here? Just say, "Hey Siri, take me to Substation 2 in Rock Hill."
Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, and it gets 4 stars on Yelp.
Even faster, order online at MySubstationII.com. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop. State Representative Jackie Terrabile is with us, District Number 66. which is TKK, and the western port of the town of Fort Mill. Basically everything west of I-77 with a little smidge of Fort Mill rolled in. Are you able to cover all that?
Yes.
You're growing like a weed up there.
We do. There's a lot of growth. There's a lot of still new neighborhoods growing up there and businesses going in, and it's grown a lot.
So what do you think when you hear that Fort Mill is now the seventh fastest growing suburban area to a major metropolitan area in the United States of America?
I mean, I believe it. I believe it. And you know, we need to make sure that we're growing in a way that's smart, and that we can handle the roads, and that we can handle the schools can handle it. And I mean, they're just we're growing like crazy. But it is a great place to live. It's great place to live. It's a great place to raise kids. And so the secret is out.
As evidenced by this weekend's Strawberry Festival.
Right. Absolutely. Right? Yes. Okay.
Well, it is interesting. I mean, it's not a place where everybody can afford to live anymore. Mm-hmm. Average price of a house up there is close to $560,000.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's nuts.
Yes.
I mean, it's nuts when you think what they were, what the prices were, whatever,
right.
10 years
mm-hmm.
ago. So with all that being said, another interesting piece of legislation that you're working on mm-hmm. has to do with books.
Right.
And
yes.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Bill number, what is it, 4123?
Yep, 4123. It's a Protection of Minors from Pornography and Obscenities Act, and it basically just closes a loophole that allows sexually explicit books and materials to end up in schools with no consequences. It really just closes the loophole that says that schools, you know, right now schools are protected when they say that they're teaching it for, you know, sex ed and that kind of thing, and we're not trying to keep that from happening. We're just saying that schools need to be held accountable to the same law that everyone else in the state has to be.
So did you introduce this bill?
No, this is not my bill. This is April Cromer's bill.
All right. Needless to say, we've had this issue in the news here mm-hmm. in York County in the last year or so.
Absolutely.
Okay. So.
And I mean, I have a lot of parents and constituents in my district who care about this issue deeply.
Sure.
You asked me earlier what was some of the important issues. This is one that a lot of people talk to me about. And so it is on the agenda to get a hearing tomorrow. And
do you think it will?
It's on the agenda.
Whoa.
So, yeah, absolutely. It's on the agenda for tomorrow morning at 10:30. So if it gets heard tomorrow morning, we'll see what happens. So, like I told you, there's the subcommittees and committees are working hard in the next 2 weeks to work on legislation.
I was going to say, these committees at this time, when you get to this final crunch, mm-hmm. are they working 12 or 15 hours a day to get these hearings done?
Well, I know that for me tomorrow, I'll be sitting in on this subcommittee meeting. This is not my committee, but I'm going to sit in on this at 10:30. We'll have session start at noon. I don't know how long that's going to go for. Then I have a subcommittee hearing for education in the afternoon after that, and then a full committee hearing scheduled for after that. So tomorrow's going to be a long day for me and the other legislators. But this is our job. This is what we need to be doing. And I think we should be. We should be working this hard the whole session long.
Session long enough, in your opinion?
Is the session long enough? I mean, really, there's so much legislation. I mean, thousands of bills get filed every year, and just a tiny percent of them get a hearing or even get passed. So in theory, we could be working year-round, sure.
Mm. Okay, a couple other things that are of interest before you get out of here.
Okay.
And that is... The state Senate voted 33-8 last week to oust Curtis Loftus mm-hmm. as our state treasurer.
Right.
All has to do with the $1.8 million mm-hmm. that was never there in the accounting area that goes from the old accounting system to the new accounting system. And nobody knew what the heck was going on. You had to hire a forensic accounting firm.
Sure.
They come in and say, it's nothing but numbers. You didn't spend the money, but it's gone.
I remember all
so
that.
All right. Mm-hmm. So if it comes over to your side, and I should say that the only senator from this area who voted no was Wes Clymer.
Mm-hmm.
Everett Stubbs and Harvey Peeler voted yes.
Okay.
All right. 33-8 takes two-thirds majority on both sides. Mm-hmm. They got it on the Senate. Where are you on this in the House?
Well, I, as far as I know, I haven't seen it come up on the calendar for next week. So I don't know if we will be taking it up or what that'll be, if that'll happen. But I will say that I spoke to senators who... on both sides of this, you know, I talked to a senator who sat through the hearing. So in the Senate, they had experts come in and people come in and testify about this for and against. And so they heard a lot of testimony. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to listen to that testimony and sit through that. So I was able to speak to some people about it. I've seen online people say why they voted for or against, and it's a complicated issue, as everything is, but the people of South Carolina elected Mr. Loftus, and at this point I think it's a slippery slope if the legislatures come in and just try to take him out of office. And like I said, I didn't sit through that testimony that was given on the Senate side, so I would have to see what was presented. But I think it's concerning. It would be setting quite a precedent to have him removed.
Well, I hear what you're saying. Slippery slope is a good way to put it. Good way to put it. Okay, so we'll just see what happens. Nothing may happen.
Yeah. Well, we can talk again. If it does come over here, I'll come back and talk to you about why.
Be assured we will get you back here again. No problem. Okay, so then the other one that's really a dicey issue for all the sports aficionados in our community is the South Carolina High School League.
Yes.
There's a bill working away its through to get rid of this thing and change it to the South Carolina High School Athletic Association. Which is interesting because there will be no educators on this committee if it's put in place versus what's there right now. Where are you on this?
Well, this is actually in my committee. So this is I serve on the education committee. And so I've sat through testimony last week. We sat, it wasn't my subcommittee, but I went to that meeting anyway because I'm interested in this. This is important to me. And so I sat through that and I heard some testimony from the current high school league leadership. And we've gotten a lot of letters from parents who have had to work with them and have issues with them over the years. And I know that they've done a lot of work talking to as many stakeholders as possible on this issue. And I personally reached out to the athletic directors at Fort Mill School District because I wanted to know what they think about this and what their experience is with this. So the athletic directors that I spoke to admit that there are issues, but they have concerns about moving to a state-controlled system.
There'll be issues there, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to grow government, and I believe that things are better off at the local level, but I do know that there are a lot of problems throughout the years, many, many years, with this organization, and so there are a lot of people who feel like this is the best course of action, that they could have solved the problems many years ago and it hasn't been addressed, and so this is the best way, course of action for it to be handled.
I had no idea all the things that the South Carolina High School League does. Like, referees for all the schools and all the events they have, and we're going to assign that to a governmental agency?
Well, I will tell you that they discussed, in the subcommittee, they discussed amending the bill in some ways so that coaches and athletic directors would have be able to have a say in some of the decisions that were made. I don't know if that hasn't actually been amended, but there was discussions about that.
So where is this bill? Has it gone through committee hearings and all that stuff?
The bill was in subcommittee, and I believe that it passed out of subcommittee and will need to go to the full committee.
And then you have to – is there a companion bill over in the Senate side?
Not that I'm aware of.
Oh, so nothing's going to happen.
But I don't know. I don't know if there is.
All right.
Well, if it doesn't go through this session, it's not dead.
Well, I know that, but you have to wait.
It goes on to January.
If you know the season.
Okay. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Jackie, we've covered a lot of ground in 30 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
You need to stop by here more often.
I know. We have so much to talk about. I will. All right, I'm taking you up on that offer, so you might regret it.
No. I'm always interested in talking with people who know what the heck is going on. And that is going to wrap up our Straight Talk program. Live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax You with Founders, and, of course, by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Okay, one more time, and we've got the Lughead here, so we got all ready to go. We do fresh subs and salads here. I'm not talking to you. You can help. You can join in here. Fresh subs and salads 6 days a week between 10 a.m. and 9 p.m. How we do it is in the white letters, and we're all going to say it together. At the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.